All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. We'll begin reading in verse number 12 and read just a couple of verses. Verse number 12 tells us, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Father, we thank you for your word. Now as we study it tonight, we ask that you would bless us with understanding. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've already looked at verse number 12 here, and the idea in that verse is simply to work out your salvation. And that's the theme that begins in verse number 12 and goes down through verse number 18. Now you remember the overall theme of the book of Philippians. What is it? Joy. How to have joy. That which is so elusive to so many in the world that are trying so hard to find it. But God has had this book that we know as the book of Philippians to tell us how to have joy in this life. And one of the ways to have joy in this life is by working out our salvation. Now, if you remember, when it says to work out our salvation, this does not say that we are supposed to work in order to obtain our salvation. But what God is telling us instead is that now that we are saved, we're to work out in our salvation. We're to work until Christ calls us home. We're to be busy in the gospel ministry. That's what it means when it says work out your own salvation. He's saying don't just sit on the back pew and do nothing for the Lord. Get in the fight. Get in the ministry. Get in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He says if you want joy, that's what you'll do. If you don't do it, you sacrifice the joy that God has for you. Now as we move along into verse number 13, there's a number of things in this verse that I want to look at. We'll begin looking first of all tonight at the power of the servant of God. Then it also tells us there the purpose of the servant of God. And it also tells us of the pleasure of the servant of God. All three of these ideas and concepts are here in verse number 13. But as I stated, I only want to deal with the first one tonight, and that's simply the power of the servant of God. And that's very clear and it's very comforting, at least to me, trying to serve the Lord, and I hope it is to you as well. And that is just simply that it is God which worketh in you. Our power that we have in our Christian service is not of ourselves. Now, I was talking to Guy this afternoon as I was getting ready to come over to the church and prepare for the message tonight. And I told Guy, well, I'm heading over to the church if it's okay with you. And he jokingly said, what if it's not okay with me? I said, oh, so you're going to preach tonight then. And through the course of the conversation of talking about him preaching, he said he can't do it. And he was right. He can't, nor can I. And that's where we don't have to worry about it because of what it says in this verse. It is God that worketh in us. And so anything we do, not just the preaching of God's Word, but anything we're involved in the gospel ministry, it's God that works in us. If it's not God working, then it is nothing that will earn us a reward. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter number, I believe it's chapter number 3. It talks about laying up wood, hay, stubble. That's the things done not in the power of God, not with God working in us. But when God works in us, then it's the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. And so we don't have to fear about serving God. Whatever it is He wants you to do, don't be afraid to undertake that task because you are not able to do it. So when you have those feelings of inability, those feelings of failure, say, well, praise God Because in my weakness, then am I strong. Because it's not my strength that I'm relying on, it's God's strength that we then rely on. Because God has promised that He will work in us. Now, this does not mean that God renders us nothing more than a robot, simply following His commands, or that marionette, that puppet on strings. I remember when I was in elementary school, every year they'd have those things come and they put on a puppet show for us, and I always enjoyed it. It was fun. And then at the end, the guy would step up in his stage and he would lift one of those marionettes out and he'd move it around with his hands, and we'd be amazed at how he can make those puppets move on strings. That's not what we are in Christian service. We have our own will, we have our own mind, and God expects us to use it. But along with that, we understand God will only use a willing vessel. He will only use a willing vessel. But He will use a willing vessel. And so the question then becomes, are you willing to let it be God who works in you? Are you willing to allow God to work in your life? Now, look over in Isaiah 6. This is very familiar. The call of Isaiah into the ministry as a prophet. But on this idea of God only using the willing vessel. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 7. Let's look at verse number 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" In that question that God asks Himself is implied the fact that God does not make us do what we would never do ourselves. God never forces an individual to do something against their will. He may send things along in our life to cause us to desire to do those things, but God uses willing vessels. And of course, Isaiah, understanding this, said, "Here am I, send me." And look what God did with the prophet Isaiah. In his own day and age, he was not considered a success. But God used him to pen this marvelous book of Isaiah that has a whole host of messianic prophecies. Because he said, "I am willing to be used by God." Look in Romans chapter number 6. The same idea. God uses willing vessels. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 13. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." And so, here, God makes it very plain and very clear that we have a choice to make. For what purpose will we yield our members? That's talking about our body. Will we use this body for God's service and for obedience to Him, or will we use this body just simply to serve our own desires, our own whims, and our own pleasures? Over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, He encourages us to allow God to work in us when He says, "It is God that worketh in you." Now, I want to look at some more verses because I really want to look at this theme of being a willing vessel. Because to get right down to it, there are very few willing vessels. There are many who will say, "Well, I'll go this far, or I'll go that far. God can have this much room in my life, but I'm keeping the rest back for myself." And that's how most Christians surrender to the Lord. It's partial. It's not complete abandonment. And when we read this, that it is God which worketh in you, the idea is complete abandonment. God, you can have me no matter what. That's what Isaiah's, "Here am I, send me," that's what that was. Complete abandonment. Because he had no idea what he was signing up for on the dotted line. He had no idea. When God then began to describe what his ministry would be like, he began to second guess his decision. Now, I'm sure when we see him in heaven and we ask him, Isaiah, do you regret saying, here am I, send me? I'll guarantee you he'll say, no, I wouldn't. I don't regret a single moment of it all. It wasn't all easy. Much of it was very difficult. He says, but if I had to do it all over again, knowing what I know now, I would do it with even more joy and more complete abandonment unto God. So let's look at this idea of being a willing vessel. Why should we offer ourselves to God? If He's going to give us the choice, why should we choose Him? Because Satan is also offering us options. Now we know that his options, as they say, all that glitters is not gold. And he's offering us some glittering options. And behind those options are heartache, our sorrow, our all kinds of difficulties and problems in life. And so what we often think, well, if I choose God's way, there's going to be problems in my life. But if I choose the world's way or the devil's way, it's all the same thing, or serving myself, there'll be nothing but pleasure and a nice, smooth, easy road. No, that's not the case at all. They're both going to be bumpy roads. And so the only thing that makes a difference is what you're going to find at the end of that road. All right? Why should we have complete abandonment to God? Look in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Verse number 12. Deuteronomy 10:12 says this, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Notice that statement. What doth the Lord thy God, that next word, require of thee? To walk in all his ways. I'm sorry, I missed the phrase. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And so later on in the New Testament, Jesus, having been asked what was the greatest commandment, he quoted this verse, or gave the gist of this verse. This is what God requires of us. And so when we ask the question, why should I offer myself to God in complete abandonment, the first response to that answer from God Himself is because God requires it. All right, let's turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter number 30. 2 Chronicles chapter number 30. By the time you get into the book of 2 Chronicles, you have Israel in all kinds of trouble, vacillating between serving God and serving idols. They even have times where the king has required worshiping Jehovah, and yet the people's heart was not in it. They wanted to go back and worship their idols, and a terrible problem that they had. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse number 8, we find our second reason why we should choose complete abandonment to God over serving ourselves and doing our own thing. Verse number 8 of 2 Chronicles chapter number 30 tells us this. Now, be ye not stiff-necked, that means stubborn or rebellious, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into His sanctuary, which He hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, notice this last phrase, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. What God is telling these Jews was that if they chose their own way, they would have the wrath of God abiding in their life. And so He said, if you want God's wrath to be removed from you, there's only one way. And that's to serve God with complete abandonment. And so that's our second reason why we should choose God, because it will turn away the wrath of God in our lives. Now, we don't really understand it as the wrath of God as Christians. But we do certainly incur His chastisement. As I said earlier, God will send things in our life to help us make the choice, which is the right choice, which is the choice that leads to joy, which is the choice that we really want deep down inside, that choice which actually offers us what we're looking for. And so He'll send things our way to help us make that right choice to serve Him with complete abandonment. And He calls it chastisement. He'll make our lives so miserable not serving Him that we finally give up. Remember a fellow by the name of Jonah. He served God for a while until God gave him something to do that he decided he didn't want to do. And of course, that was go and preach the gospel to the Ninevites. And so he got in that boat and he found out things weren't any better in that boat than at Nineveh. In fact, probably would have been better in Nineveh. And this was his experience before his life was over, that it was better in Nineveh in the will of God than in a boat heading for Tarshish outside the will of God. And we use that phrase so often, I'd rather be in the fire in God's will, like the three Hebrew children, rather than outside that fire, outside the will of God. Because less harm will come to us in the fire, in God's will, than to be in a nice, safe place outside the will of God. God says that He chastens His children when they get out of sorts, when they get out of the way. And so a second reason why we want to choose complete abandonment to God, to say as Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Whatever it is you want to go. The only thing he had heard up to that point was, who will we send for us? That's all he knew. God said, who do we have to send? And Isaiah raised his hand real quick, you know, kind of like those kids in class. They always want to answer questions. And boy, those hands will dart up before you get the question done. And he'll say, call on me. That's what Isaiah did. His hand shot up with all the enthusiasm and excitement of a little kid. And he said, I get to serve God. And he said, choose me because I'm offering myself in complete abandonment. We do it because it's required. We do it because it turns away the wrath of God. Look in Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Why should we offer ourselves to God with complete abandonment as a willing vessel for Him to work in us and through us? Psalm 144, verse number 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now, we usually, as we read this verse, we understand it in a national setting. That any nation that makes God their God instead of some other false god, that land, those people of that country are happy. They experience the blessings of God. They enjoy the service of and worship of God. And all of that is true. But make no mistake, a nation is made up of individuals. And is made up of individuals that have a choice to make. The choice to serve God with complete abandonment, or the choice to serve self, or the way of the world, or pleasure, or whatever it might be. And so they're standing at the crossroads, and God tells us that we ought to choose Him, serving Him with complete abandonment, in order that He might work in us, because those people that do are happy. Now, you understand the difference between happiness and joy. They're two different things, though oftentimes used as synonyms. Okay? Don't use happiness or joy as a spice. All right? As synonyms, meaning the same thing, but they're different. Happiness involves what is happening around you. Does it bring you pleasure? Does it put a smile on your face? Joy is an inner thing. Knowing that you're where God wants you to be and that life is at its best. It's equivalent, closer to peace than it is to happiness. But God says if we make God our God, if we serve Him with complete abandonment, He'll bring happiness into your life. Life is good. I have all kinds of fun in life. Poor Aaron came over Saturday. I guess that was yet. No, it was Friday. He came over to practice that song with Abigail. And he just caught me when I needed someone to have fun with. And I had a lot of fun at his expense. And he was probably thinking, man, why did I ever bother to come over here? Because I just found everything I could to cut him down on. And I had fun. I had happiness. He probably had a lot of grief and probably wanted to give me a black eye. But that's just the way it is sometimes. He knows me by now that I don't mean anything by it. I'm just having fun at his expense. But life is good. I have a lot of fun. And I know if you serve God that you do too. You know, we can have the policy that it's just another adventure. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter how lost you are. It doesn't matter how difficult the situation is. It's just another adventure that God has put you on. And those situations that previously had brought grief, had brought stress, had brought problems in your life, are all of a sudden turned around just the opposite, and it's a challenge, and it's really an adventure to see how God is going to work all of this out. If you make God your choice to serve Him with complete abandonment, just like Isaiah with all his enthusiasm, when he shot up his hand and said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Complete abandonment. Whatever you want me to do, God, wherever you want me to go, I'll do it and I'll be whatever you want me to be. We should make that choice because it's required. We should make that choice because it will turn away the wrath of God. And we should make that choice because it's the way to happiness. Now look over in Romans chapter number 12. We talked about this verse this morning. But I still want to include it here because it certainly is apt. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the Jews never offered a living sacrifice. If you try to put a live bull or a live goat on an altar, especially if it's a bull, it's going to be a pretty difficult thing to get him up there in the first place if he's alive and not willing. Now, a sheep would be a little easier to get up there, I imagine, from what I have read about their natures. But to keep it there, when that fire is lit beneath it and it starts to get warm, I don't imagine there's any sheep that's willing to say, "I think I'll just lay here and be cooked alive." All right, sheep don't work that way. I don't think there's any animal that would be willing to go through that. But God tells us we're to be a willing sacrifice, a living sacrifice. He wants us on that altar, and He wants us while we're on that altar to be fully alive, fully aware, fully serving Him for His glory. And He sums it all up, as I mentioned this morning. He says, don't expect commendation for doing so. Don't look for that pat on the back just because you've made yourself a living sacrifice and you're holy and you're acceptable to me. God says, don't think you're anything special. He says, all you've done is you have done what is reasonable. He says, it's just what I expect of you. And I think this looks back to Deuteronomy that we looked at in chapter number 10. God says, it's required of us. And so it's our reasonable service. That's why we should offer ourselves willingly with complete abandonment to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we see our fifth reason. When given the choice, why we should choose complete abandonment to God. Another familiar verse of Scripture in verse number 19 and verse number 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And what is that next phrase? ye are not your own. Now, it's amazing that God allows us the choice. Because it goes on in verse number 20 and says, you're not your own, why not? Because you are bought, for you are bought with a price. God has purchased us. And He expects us to do what it is He has purchased us to do. But He gives us the choice. He doesn't make us do what we ought to do in the first place. Now, He says there's consequences if we don't do it. Chastisement, the sacrificing of joy. And all these things and more in the Word of God are promised to us if we'll make this choice. But we ought to make that choice just simply because we are not our own. Teenagers always want to leave home. They want to get out on their own so they can make all their own choices, all their own decisions, so they can be their own person. But we have news for them. If they're a Christian, you're never your own person. And sometimes we as adults, after years and maybe decades of not having anyone tell us what to do, we're not our own either. We have been purchased. And our purchaser expects us to do what He wants us to do. He wants us to fulfill the responsibilities and the purposes for which He purchased us. We are bought with a price. And the conclusion in the second half of verse 20 is, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And in case you forgot, which are God's. And so we ought to make the choice to choose to offer ourselves as a willing vessel with complete abandonment to God. First of all, because it's required. Secondly, because it will turn away the wrath of God in our lives. Thirdly, because it is the way to happiness. Fourthly, because it is our reasonable service. Fifthly, because we are not our own. And then in Colossians chapter number 3, we find the last one we'll look at tonight. And if we tried, we could probably find a great deal more than this. But I think this is enough to help us make the right choice. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 24. Why should we offer ourselves a willing vessel with complete abandonment in order that God might work in us? Colossians 3:24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. If you choose to serve God with your life in order that He might work in you, God promises that it will bring an eternal reward. Now, a lot of people are doing a lot of things for a reward that just doesn't last. They're in the late 90s. A lot of people found that the reward of a lifetime of work evaporated overnight when all those funds dried up and all the funny books they had been keeping for all those years finally caught up with them. And we were plunging into the recession we find ourselves in now. See, a lot of people are working hard for things that aren't going to last. We work hard to buy a car and buy a home, and boy, those things take constant upkeep. But God says you can work for something that's not going to have any deterioration. It's going to last forever. So, but there's only one way you can get it, and that's by allowing God to work in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Won't you make that your choice tonight if you haven't? And if you have, it's always good to reconfirm that with God and say, God, here am I. Whatever it is you would have me to do, I've been trying to do my best up to this point. By your grace and the leading of your Spirit, help me to continue until you call me home. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you do choose to work in us and through us. Father, help us just simply to be willing vessels. There's a lot of distractions in our lives, a lot of things which would cry for our choice. But Father, let us always remember to whom we belong and allow you to have your way in our lives, to do that which you would. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.